Wow, that's beautiful. Amen. You know, I listen to that music and I'm reminded of how my family loves music. So we're talking about pastoral ministry and youth ministry, but also music ministry. I've never been able to really sing. I always sing the melody. I can't hear the parts. But my family really loves, my wife loves to sing, and you saw that choir in the video presentation. That's all also a product of what is taking place here in this church. So sound, biblical music that our family just loves. So we praise the Lord for that as well. Would you please join me, and let's go to Psalm 84 this morning. Psalm 84. My title or my subject is Drawing Closer to God. I think that in the life and time in which we live, it's very, very important for us to keep our focus on what's important and have our priorities right, putting the Lord foremost and preeminent in our Christian lives. This is an Old Testament text, and I'll just read the 12 verses that are here to start with, and then we'll pray. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Father, we humbly bow before you this morning. We ask that the Holy Spirit of God would use the Word of God in a special way in each and every heart. You can see our needs. You understand our pressures. You know the decisions that we face. We're here in the house of God this morning, desiring to be led, to be directed, to be helped, to be ministered to be encouraged, to be challenged. And Father, we come before you humbly asking you that you would work in us, that you would use us, that you would help us. We're thankful, Father, for the blessings that you pour out upon us each day. And Lord, as we study this text this morning, I ask that you'll use it for your honor and for your glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we start this psalm, I want us to note just the note or the title above, the subscription there. In the beginning of the psalm, it says, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. And so when I read that that little introduction there, of course, that's not inspired, but that's added in. And the idea is that the sons of Korah are in mind. And when you all think of the sons of Korah, what do you think about? We think about Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4, verse 15, where the jobs or the ministries of the Levites are distributed. And we recognize that the sons of Aaron are going to put the furniture all together to the tabernacle. They're going to take care of all the important jobs. And the sons of Kohath and his sons, the sons Korah, I think Kohath is granddad to Korah. These are going to be the ones that after everything's done and after everything's wrapped, these are going to be the ones that tote the furniture. The sons of Korah. It's not the purpose of my message, but I think it's important that we understand that all of us have a potential of having a spirit of Korah. It's the spirit of dissatisfaction. It's the spirit of a lack of contentment. It's the spirit that we're not given the job that we should have. We should have a better job. We should have a bigger job. And I think this psalm, I just read the background. My books are in the mail somewhere. But I read the background, and one of the writers was saying that this is one of the psalms that were sung while the Israelites went to celebrate one of the mandatory feasts in Jerusalem. So they're constantly being reminded of the purpose of the feast that is coming up. And they're going to the house of the Lord. They're going to the temple of God. They're going to worship the Lord. But their hearts have got to be prepared. Their hearts have got to be ready. And so this is the psalm that is going to sharpen us. It's going to help us. And though we live in the church time period, we have the same kind of heart. And we can be tempted by the same kind of spirit. If we look at this psalm, if we look at this in the verse number 1, it says, "How amiable, how lovely, how blessed are the are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." The emphasis is here, that where God dwells, so does God's blessing. Meaning that we have got to seek out God. I have learned in my short Christian life of 25 years, I have learned that what men desire, men accomplish. If we put our heart and our desire towards something, we're going to get it. We're going to seek after it, whether it's prestige or whether it's a position or whether it's money or possessions, it doesn't matter. Or whether it is a Christian who has a great, huge desire to fellowship with God. If we put our heart into it, we're going to have it. Because that's the way God designed us. He didn't design the garden and then say, "Adam, okay, you don't have anything to do." No, he told them, "You're going to care for the garden. This is your job. This is your ministry." Every one of us has something that we really, really want. Are these waters for preachers? Thank you. Just the right size, too. Notice it says, "O Lord of hosts." Host is an army. You know, Israel's powerful. And the Lord Jehovah, the Lord, O Lord of hosts. I think that might be Adonai. But irregardless, that is Jehovah. So the idea here is that Jehovah, the self-existing one, the covenant-keeping God, I am your leader. I am your guide. You are my army. You are my people. And so we are in submission and we are accountable to our God this morning. I take I have great peace in my heart knowing that God is in charge. Folks, I've never felt confident, and that's not just saying it. From the very first message that I ever preached with that camera shining on me, I just remember it like it was yesterday. The idea here is that we have got to consider who's in control. Christ is the head of the church. Christ has got us on a mission. It's Christ that's going to lead us and guide us. It's Christ that's going to help us and to save us. "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord." This is a yearning. And he's saying that my whole being, and if you look at the further portion of the verse there, verse number 2, he continues, "My heart having to do," I think it's lab or labab, it's the inner mind, emotions, and will. It's the inner man, but he also says, "And my flesh crieth out for the living God." Folks, my inner man and my outer man yearns and longs to have a relationship, not just with a God, but with the living God. Our God's living. You know, if you go to Bali or you go to one of these places, they're worshiping gods that can't speak back, that can't communicate, that can't help, that can't save, that can't heal. They're worshiping a God that has no life. But this morning, just like Israel, we as God's people have a God that is living, that is true, that is interacting with us, that wants to be with us and we with Him. Our desire. What is your greatest desire? What is our greatest desire? You tell me, I'm not pastoring now. You tell me, Brother Sean, my greatest desire is to be close to God. I think that's biblical. My greatest desire is to be a servant of God. That's biblical. Now, I don't eliminate vocations. Whatever your vocation is, it's God-given. It's not ministry and then this. No, it's not a difference between whether you carry the furniture or whether you're the ones ministering on the furniture. It makes no difference. It's all the same Lord of hosts. It's all the same living God. We all have our part. And that part is just as important as any other part. Folks, what's your greatest desire? What do you want the most? I think we should desire to be in the courts of the Lord. We're not going to the temple in Jerusalem. We're not going to the inner or outer court. We're not going to see that. But at the same time, we're in the house of God this morning. We're here for a purpose. And that's to worship the living God. And He communicates to me and He communicates to you. Verse number 3. So we've seen the desires, the longing, and the living. But let's look at not only do we have to have the right desires, the desiring, but also the dwelling in verse number 3. It says, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Now he's making it personal here by using that possessive pronoun, my King, my God. He's drawing it closer. It's now a tabernacles as he's going to narrow it down to a particular place, not just a general dwelling. But here he emphasizes also altars. Altars represent sacrifice and offering. We sing the song, "Is You're All on the Altar of Sacrifice Lay." We have got to dwell where God is. God is in the house of God. Now, if you think about it, we are so blessed that God lives in what? Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? So we are so blessed, not only they sought to dwell with God, but God lives in, He lives in me. That doesn't mean I'm always really close to God. My fellowship can be strained, but at the same time, He lives in me. I ask myself, the kings of Judah, were they greater men of character than the kings of Israel? Well, we all know that Israel didn't follow after God. Judah did a better job of it. They fell later, but they held. Men like Uzziah. What was the key to Josiah? What was the key element to Hezekiah? You see, Judah included the temple. Judah included the dwelling. They were closer to God. It says of Uzziah that he listened to the prophet Zechariah. They were closer to the word of God. It wasn't that they were made of better material or had a better character. It was that they dwelt where God was. And that influence from the prophets and from the law and from the temple and from the worship, it had an influence on them, and they were able to hold on longer. Why? Because God dwelt there with them. Jeroboam, he recognized right away that he needed to make those calves. He recognized that the loyalty to King David, to David's line through Rehoboam, that the loyalty would go back to King David if he didn't find an alternate worship. He was wicked, but he understood. He understood what man would do. He understood how it would work. Folks, not only do we really have to have the right desire, and I'm not talking about something fanciful, it's fanciful, something that's ideological. I'm talking about something that's real. I really want to be with God. I really want to pray to God. I really want to spend time with God's people. I love God's Word. And I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to dwell. I don't know if you know, but when I take your hand, and I shake your hand after a long time away. What a blessing it is to grab a hold of your hand and look into your eyes and know, you know what? We're brethren. We've labored together. We're co-laborers in Christ. He says, verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. I think of the term abide. We see it in John chapter number 15. Folks, if we are going to bear fruitfulness, we're going to have to abide in the vine. And Christ is that vine. He is the one in which I must dwell if I'm going to be able to accomplish what it is He wants me to accomplish. So there's a desiring. There's a dwelling. Verse number 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. I just prayed about this verse. I've understand that if I put my strength in the Lord, then my ways are in the heart of my God. My God recognizes my weakness. And in my weakness, He can make me strong. Pride is the opposite of humility, and pride is going to destroy or derail the believer. But understanding who we are and our lack of spiritual strength is going to help us to rely or depend. So we saw desiring and we saw dwelling. How about depending? You know, some folks, they stay in a place where they really could survive with or without God's help, faith-wise. And some of us, we are at a point where we know that there's no way that we can accomplish what it is that God has asked us to do. We're at our faith limit. You got a revival coming up? God wants you to make a decision. He's already prepared a preacher. He's already prepared the services. He wants us to make another decision for Him. He's going to lead us and direct us through the Word of God, but there's got to be a depending. I've got to depend upon God. Not my training, not my wisdom, not my intellect, but on my God. And if I will rely on His strength, then it says here, my ways are in His heart. Does God want you to succeed? Yes, He does. Is He going to direct my paths? Yes, He is. Verse number 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. I understand this Baca to be a place of balsam trees, an arid place, a dry place, a place where there's not a lot of water, not a lot of fertility. Have you ever been there spiritually? I think all of us go through a dry place, don't we? There are times when, wow, fruit is abundant and everywhere. And there are times where it just seems like nothing's going right spiritually. We open the Word of God and we bow our hearts in prayer. And it seems like we're in a place of baka. We're in a place of dryness, non-fertility, an arid place. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Genesis. I think it's Genesis 26. Isaac. Can we go there real fast? Let's see. Genesis 26. We'll see in a second if I've... Yes, verse 17. Verse 17 says this, and Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Just a moment. We'll continue in just a second. Think about this. There are wells that have been established in the Christian heritage and Christian doctrine that the world would love to bury. Abraham found the water, but the Philistines, who were the enemy to the people of God, they buried the wells. They'd rather that nobody else had the wells. But Isaac, he went back and he dug the wells back up because he recognized the value of what his father had accomplished. It says in verse 19, "And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and they found there a well of springing water." Didn't Jesus say to the woman at the well, "The water that I give you is living water, springing unto everlasting life"? Verse 20, "And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him." The word Esek, it means conflict. But look at verse 21, "And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna," and Sitna means strife. Verse 22, "And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.' And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, 'I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake.' And he builded there an altar, and he called upon the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well." You see, God provided. He says, back in our psalm, he says, in the valley of Baca, in a place that's not fruitful, that God is going to fill the wells with rain. God is going to provide for you. If you rely on the strength of God, God will take care of you even in the time of dryness. Even in that time of the low valley, God will provide for me. He'll provide for you. He will give us what we need so that we can bear fruit. He's going to take us to that well. He's going to give us exactly what is necessary. I wonder, is it hard, these three basic principles, is it hard to always desire the things of the Lord? Is that a challenge to you and me? Is it a challenge for us to dwell where God would have us to dwell, to be in the right place? Is that sometimes a hard thing for us? Is it hard sometimes for us to be depending upon God, depending upon His strength? Or do we easily revert to depending upon ourselves? These are three principles that were written to the sons of Korah, those that had a rebellious history, a rebellious past, but at the same time, there's promise and there's hope. When we prepare for worship, like on a Sunday, I know we worship every Lord's Day. They are going to a special feast day. You say it's easier to get excited when you're having a revival coming up. You know what? It's just as important that we get excited about church every single time the doors are open. That we really desire Him. That God has prepared the heart of the one that's going to share the message. He's prepared that person to the right text at the right time. And that the Holy Spirit of God can use this particular text to do something in my life. You know, I put in my margin, I put the word digging. You know, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. God's not going to just pour the rain. I'm dependent upon God, so God is going to provide exactly what I need, and I don't have to do anything. I just got to wait for it. No, no. Isaac dug. Isaac's servants dug the well back out. We got to get into this Bible. I told the folks before I left, my greatest desire is to walk with God. I got a lot to learn. But my God is gracious. How many times have I fallen down and He picked me back up? How many times has He used somebody to brush me off and say, "Keep on going, brother. You're doing fine. Just keep right on going. Verse number 8. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer and give ear. O God of Jacob. See how many titles God has in this psalm. See how many relationships He is signifying to His people. We can claim all these different relationships with God. Verse number 9. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of Thine anointed. For a day in Thy courts is better than 1,000. And I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Again, it really doesn't matter what job the Lord gives us to do. What ministry, whether it's carrying the furniture or whether it's packing and using the furniture, what He's saying is that just like the bird in the previous verse, just like the bird found a place of security and safety so that she could have her young, we have got to find that in the house of the Lord. We have got to recognize that where we are and what we do. Every single one of us has a duty. There's a do in my Christian life. What am I doing? I put into my margin, the challenge here is to have the right attitude and to have the right altitude toward whatever ministry. That's a true servant. It's not going to matter what God asks me to do. I'm willing to do it. And along with the doing, he recognizes, for the Lord God is a sun. A sun is S-U-N. It provides life. What would happen if we took away our sun? We wouldn't live. There wouldn't be life. Our God is our life. But He's also our shield. He's not only a provider of life, but He's a protector of life. If I'm going to make it, if I'm going to be protected in this world today, it's because He's my shield. He is my rock. He is my fortress. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know what? If I could just claim this one verse, then my desire and my dwelling and my dependency, my doing, if I could recognize that God, the living God, the Lord, the King, if I recognize that if I'm upright in my walk with the Lord, He will not withhold a single good thing from me. That doesn't mean He's going to give us everything we want. It does mean that He's going to give us everything that we truly need. I don't know about you, but this really helps me. You may be in the mountaintop, or you may be in an arid place, Baca. But know this, that if you're born again this morning, if you have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ, you're not alone. He wants us to demonstrate these four things, at least these four things. He wants us to be desiring. He wants us to be dwelling. He wants us to be digging, to be dependent, and He wants us to be doing. And it says in the last verse, O Lord of hosts, again, the Lord of the army of Israel, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Trusting for salvation, trusting for service. Pastor Ola, would you please come?